One thing is certain, all of us go through trouble. In fact, the scriptures tell us in Job chapter 5, verse 7, yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. And then in Job chapter 14, verse 1, the word of God says, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. So we're all going to go through trouble. What I want to talk to you today about is our reaction to trouble or trials. When you go through trouble, your reaction to trials should follow a biblical pattern. Otherwise, it is a way too easy to get in the flesh and really mess up. So, our pattern for our reaction to trials is as follows. The first thing we need to do when we're going through a trial, when trouble hits, is we need to cry out to God. We need to cry out to God. Amen. I'd have us turn to the book of Psalms. I want us to look at Psalm 18, verse 6. In Psalm 18, verse number 6, the Word of God says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. We see here the psalmist David wrote, in my distress. So when he wrote this, obviously he was going through trouble or a trial. And it says, where did he turn to? First of all, he says, I call upon the Lord. Amen. And the distress that he was going through was intense because it says, and cried unto my God. He cried out because of he was in great distress. Amen. And the wonderful thing is, we're told here, he, the Lord, heard my voice. Amen. In fact, even into his ears. What a marvelous thing, my friends. When we find ourselves in a trial or troubles, the first thing we need to do is cry out to God before going to anyone else. We need to take our concern to the Lord. It's so common for people to run to other people on social network. You know, there's so many different areas and ways to social network. Avenues to social network. We have Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and you name it. Amen. So it's common for people to run to other people on social network or to complain to others in church or to cry on the shoulder of a family member or a friend. Now, while you will certainly find help from consolation and good counsel in time of trouble or trial, seeking compassion and counsel should never be your first reaction. Your first reaction is to cry out to the Lord, stay before him in prayer until you see his perspective on the trial and until he provides his help. You see, my dear friends, many times you will find that he alone can handle the problem and that it is completely unnecessary to involve anyone else. So as we're looking at a pattern, a biblical pattern, and how you and I should react to trials, the first thing we need to do is cry out to God. He's there for you and I, 24 hours, 7 days a week, every day and every night of the year. What a blessing, my friend. The next thing after we cry out to God is we need to claim the promises in the Bible. We need to claim the promises in the Bible. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Peter chapter 1. In 2 Peter chapter 1, let's look at verses 2, 3, and 4. The Word of God has this to say: Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Notice, when I was reading this, it doesn't say grace and peace be added unto you, but multiplied. Amen. Multiplied. God is a God of abundance. Amen. And if we want grace and mercy to be multiplied in our lives, we get it through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So the more we read and study the Word of God, the more knowledge we get, amen, of God our Father and of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result, grace and peace will be multiplied to us. Now verse 3, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Amen. We get godliness and all things that pertain to this life through the knowledge of Him, through the knowledge of God, that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us, here it is, exceeding great and precious promises. You see, the Lord has given us exceeding and great and precious promises in the Bible. And what we need to do is we need to know them and rely upon them. In a trial, it's so helpful to claim the promises of God. Let me give you some. So when you go through a trial or trouble, amen, you can claim the promises. You can say, God, you promised to do this. Amen. First, I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 with me, if you would. In Hebrews chapter 13, look with me, if you would, to verse number 5. The Word of God says this: Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So I know sometimes when we go through trials and trouble, we feel like we're all alone, like no one cares. There's no one to turn to. But notice the promise of God that we need to claim. He has promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that means God is with you. He's going, He's by your side, and He's going through that trial and trouble with you. Amen. Notice Romans chapter 8 with me. Turn to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, let's look together at verses 17 and 18. The Word of God has this to say: If children, meaning children of God, and we're children of God in faith in Christ Jesus, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So we see there's an inheritance that's based on suffering for Christ, as we know, as He suffered. And behind that, we're told that we may be also glorified together with Christ. Someday we'll be glorified if we suffer for him now. And we see, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time, amen, that's the trial or trouble you're going through. See, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. See, claim that promise that you're suffering. Well, it's nothing compared to what you're going to get when you hit heaven. And then in Romans 8:28, we read, and we know. This is something we all know. It's not something we can't figure out or God doesn't want us to know. It's very plain here. And we know. Know what? That all things. He said all things. Even the suffering, even the trials, work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You may think to yourself, how can anything good come out of this trial that I'm going through? That's what God promised. He's going to work it out for your good. Amen. It's part of his plan. And then Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. The word of God says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Claim that promise that God is with you. Nothing, that trial, that tribulation cannot separate you from God, from the love of Christ. Amen. The love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can. Amen. Let's turn to Psalm 18 again. Psalm 18. Psalm 18, verse number 2. Here is a great promise of God to claim when you're in the midst of a trial. Psalm 18, verse 2. Notice, the Lord is my rock, and my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, in my high tower. He's a rock. He's our foundation. We can rest secure on him. He's a fortress. You think of a fortress, amen, an enclosure. He has you enclosed. He's protecting you. And also, he's a deliverer. He's going to protect you during that trial. Amen. He's going to deliver it from your trial. He's your strength. He'll give you his strength to get through the trial. And because of all of that, we need to place our trust in him. See? Amen. And he's also our high tower. We're protected. We're in his high tower above everything else. He can see the whole playing field, all the trouble and all the little things that are going on in our life. Amen. Precious promises to claim as ours when we go through difficult times and trials and troubles. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look with me in verses 6 through 9. Here's another promise that we can claim from the Word of God when we find ourselves in trouble and tribulation. Beginning in verse 6, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation. And that's how it feels sometimes. Heaviness. When you're going through a trial, a tribulation, amen. Amen. It feels heavy. You feel heaviness. You feel a great weight upon you. but he says it's just for a season. Then in verse 7, that the trial of your faith, see, when you go through something, it's trying your faith. You know, do you believe God? Do you believe what he says? Amen. The trial of your faith being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth. God tries your faith, amen, and that trial that you're going through is more precious than gold. And though it may be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Amen. So what you're going through, that trial, amen, it's going to come out. And it brings praise and honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. And you'll see that when he comes at his appearing. Amen. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love. In whom now, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. That should be our reaction when we're going through, amen, a trial. The next thing we see is we're looking at a pattern of how we should respond or react to trials. We saw we need to cry out to God, claim the promises in the Bible, and be thankful. Be thankful, you say? Be thankful when I'm going through a trial? That's what the Word of God says. It's counterintuitive of what the world would say. Amen? But turn with me first to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, the Word of God says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice, in everything give thanks. That means you ought to give thanks while you're going through your trial, while you're going through your trouble. Amen. That's the will of God for you and I. Boy, it's hard to do, but that's what God instructs us to do. You know, we need to put it in his hand. Amen. He's going to see us through it. Amen. We don't have to fret, be downtrodden. Notice in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5, verse 20. The Word of God has this to say, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, it's telling us, the Word of God is telling us to give thanks always for all things. Amen? In other words, we need to have an attitude of gratitude. Amen? And that may be hard. Amen? The flesh doesn't want to be thankful because you're going through a trial. You may say, I can't find anything for which to thank God in this trial. Well, what you need to do is just start thanking him for everything you have that's not related to this trial. And you will find as you count your blessings, as the hymn says, and name them one by one, that you have so much for which to be thankful. And you know something? The thanksgiving in your heart will overwhelm the anger in your heart due to the trial. Thank God that you are counted worthy to suffer for his name. That's what the apostles did when they were beaten for preaching in the name of Jesus. Amen. They praise God that they were worthy to suffer for the name of Christ. So far, we've seen how our reaction should be to trials. We're following a biblical pattern. We should first cry out to God, claim the promises in the Bible, and be thankful. Next, we need to rejoice. Rejoice. Amen. The flesh doesn't want to rejoice during trials, does it? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, the Word of God says simply, rejoice evermore. You see, we are to rejoice always. And in a trial, that can be hard to do, amen. However, you need to remember that most trials accomplish one of two things for us and for the Lord. They are either for chastening, in which case we should repent, or they are for perfecting, in which case we should rejoice. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10, notice what the Word of God says. But the God of all grace, isn't that a comfort? The God of all grace. He has all the grace that each and every one of us as Christians need. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. He's called us to eternal glory. Once we leave this world, amen, we'll have eternal glory. Amen. Listen to this. After that ye have suffered a while, here it is, make you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you. Didn't say make you sinless, but make you perfect. Trials make us mature as Christians. It establishes us, it strengthens us, and it settles us firmly, amen, in the Lord Jesus Christ and upon the words of God. Even in chastening, we should rejoice. Why? Because chastening is a demonstration of the Lord's love for you and I. The next thing, as we look at this biblical pattern on how you and I should react to trials when they come our way, is don't get bitter. Amen? Don't get bitter. Turn with me, first of all, to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, notice what the Word of God says in verse 15. Now this verse follows the passage talking about chastening, the chastening of the child of God. In verse 15 says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Amen. Let's look, taking that verse, keeping that in mind, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. The words of God say this, let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Bitterness, amen, should not be part of any of us as Christians. Amen. We need to deal with that bitterness. Amen. Because if you get bitter, amen, in the midst of a trial, it's easy to get mad at God, right? And get bitter. If that happens to you, get it out of your system and get over it quickly. Why? Because you do not want to stay mad at God or at any of his people. God is the last person we want to be mad with. Or the saints of God, amen. See, what will happen is, if you don't deal with it, you'll become bitter. And that bitterness will ruin you. not only will bitterness trouble you, but as the Word of God says, it will defile those who are around you. There are some people who are so bitter, they are actually content in their bitterness, and they will never get over it. Everyone around them is affected by it, and they don't care. Amen. And listen, you don't want to be like that. That's not Christ-like, is it? So we're looking at the biblical pattern, how you and I should react to trials. We saw we need to cry out to God, the first thing. Second, claim the promises in the Bible. The third thing is to be thankful. The fourth thing is to rejoice. The fifth, don't get bitter. And then the last and the sixth is don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. Look with me in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 with me. In Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 19 down to verse 21, the Word of God has this to say. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. If your trial is at the hand of an enemy, don't be overcome of evil. It could consume you. Amen? What you and I need to do, as it says here, the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord, is to let God handle it. See? He may decide to do something about it, or he may decide to let it go. Either way, you are not to even consider vengeance. See? Let God handle it. He handles things much better than you and I ever could handle anything. And people who demand vengeance from God against someone that has caused them to go through a trial usually ends their lives as miserable wrecks. See? Because they allow it to consume them, take over them, just like bitterness would. You know, the attitude is, I want to get even. I want to get even with that person. But God says, no. Just let me handle it. I know what I'm doing. See? So people like that, they try to force God's hand against their enemy. And when God doesn't do what they demand, they become extremely hostile. Amen? They become extremely hostile because God didn't act in the way that they wanted him to do. Instead of just letting the Lord take care of things. See? We don't have to worry about it. He'll take care of that. If he needs to deal with that individual, amen, your enemy, he will. But he knows what he's doing. So just let him handle it. In sports, the penalty for retaliation is always worse than the penalty for initial infractions. You've seen it maybe even in football. There's a penalty, things get out of hand, get unsportsmanlike conduct, and the penalty's far worse than the original infraction. And the same is true in life. Instead of retaliating, overcome evil with good. So, with that said, trials are not fun, but they are so beneficial in the end. If you will follow these simple steps in your reaction to trials, you will reap the greatest benefits from your trials. and you will find your trials much easier to endure.